Welcome to TDWI's BI This Week Audio Reports. I'm James E. Powell, Editorial Director for BI This Week, and your host for this program. Data integration is about gathering data from disparate sources for analysis and use, but that data is often transferred unprotected, despite the fact that it may be extremely sensitive. In this program, TDWI contributing editor Linda Briggs talks with David Friedland of IRI, the company best known for its CoSort software. They discuss how companies can mitigate risk and address security and compliance issues using data-centric security solutions.
Hello, David, and welcome to TDWI.
Hi, Linda. Pleasure to be with you.
We're talking today about security issues that can arise around data integration and ETL. David, for starters, I wonder if we can start with this. Can you define data integration in this context?
Well, sure. Data integration is, of course, all about gathering and reconciling data that's dispersed across different sources so that people can analyze it and make the best use of it, which usually means combining and mapping the data to give users a unified view. Some call that a virtual mediated schema, maybe a federated database system. For many of our users, it's been integrated flat files. The approach to the data merging we're all familiar with, though, is the data warehouse, where data are extracted from several sources, transformed as needed, and then loaded into a single query repository. There's a huge body of literature around this, vendor solutions and complexities too, surrounding data integration like semantic conflicts. So it's obviously a big subject. In fact, Rick Sherman of Athena IT Solutions, he's the former BI and DW practice lead at PricewaterhouseCoopers, by the way, he tried to boil this all down by coining a data integration framework information architecture. You can imagine that a lot of data, which is stored and transferred unprotected during data integration, can be sensitive. We're talking about transaction data from consumers, patients, students, employees, battlefield conditions, oil field measurements, and what have you. So many of the elements of the data have to be protected in order to comply with privacy regulations, prevent identity theft, preserve national or infrastructural security, and so on. But back to Rick Sherman's data integration framework for a second, which will help. It's got five key parts. One is data sources, two, data preparation, three, data franchising, four, metadata management, and five, data management. As the data and the metadata rest and pass between processes during data integration, in other words, the data management pieces, there is inherent risk. We're talking today about securing the data at risk in the data preparation and data franchising components of data integration.
So within the context of that, what do you mean by the phrase data franchising?
Again, that's Rick Sherman's phrase that he coined as a component of data integration, but it's similar and a bit simpler than the data preparation process we're familiar with, where data preparation involves all that gathering, reformatting, consolidating, transforming, cleansing, and then storing data in the staging areas in the warehouse. That's preparation, but franchising is kind of a subset of that, where you're changing the data into information just for reporting and analysis using BI tools. So data franchising is another way of saying packaging data warehouse data into data marts or cubes. Franchising is a bit more elaborate than spread marts or data shadow systems that evolved around Excel, because franchising involves data filtering, flattening or denormalization, transforming the data into an analytic context, aggregation, and again, storing the results for use with BI tools.
As you've noted, there are security risks anytime data is moving about within systems. Specific to data integration and ETL, what are some of those security risks? What can happen during these processes?
Well, you hear about privacy breaches in the news all the time. You can read them online at privacyrights.org. Very often, there's personally identifying data like names, addresses, social security numbers, which are stolen or hacked from databases, or files sitting on CDs or laptops. Sometimes they're just carelessly posted online in some report or thrown into a dumpster. In the data integration or ETL context, you can probably imagine that this means data in flat staging or load files, unencrypted database columns, unprotected backups or replication archives. Related activities, maybe like Delta reporting or those franchise BI tool handoffs that I just mentioned, if they aren't safeguarded or properly masked. Anyway, the point is that the data is at risk whether it's at rest or in motion. That is, whether it's being stored, processed, or moved for the benefit of data warehouses, operational data stores, BI tools, printouts, or whatever, and not protecting that data could run you afoul of laws like Gramm-Leach-Bliley, HIPAA, PCI, and the EU Data Protection Directive. Oh, and by the way, cleaning up after a breach costs a lot more than preventing the leak.
So lots of reasons to secure data. Given those issues, what you've talked about, what can be done?
Well, quite a bit, starting with a commitment to good data governance and learning the language of controls. I'd check out Gwen Thomas's Data Governance Institute site and the kinds of practices, standards, and tools that focus not only on privacy protection and compliance, but also on data integration, master data management, and other activities where monitoring and controlling the data architecture matter. I wrote an article last August called Mitigating Data Risk that the BI Network has up on their website. I listed 11 different things that enterprises can do to walk the walk of security within the four walls. Those include both logical and physical security steps, which people are now calling convergence since the CSO is responsible for both. But as a mature player in the data integration space and as an emerging one in the data security space, we of course tout the logical approaches to data security, like field-level encryption. When we talk about encryption, we mean encoding sensitive data by turning it into unreadable and uncrackable ciphertext, which is gobbledygook essentially, and you can reveal that encrypted data only with the right decryption key. But just the whole science of encryption, that could be an all-week podcast, and it's just one logical security method among several that's common nowadays for devices like thumb drives, disks, and laptops. But we're seeing, and we're counting on, a trend towards more data-centric security, since that's more efficient and more useful to protect only the data that needs to be protected. And in the current COSOR product, data warehouse users can apply logical security like this field-level encryption, very data-centrically, again, down to specific fields within files.
To key in on one term, when you talk about role-based access control, what does that mean and how does that work within your product?
Well, that's traditionally meant controlling access to computer resources, actually, which usually meant login rights. But in the data-centric context of field protection, we're talking about is controlled access for specific file elements, fields, based on which users have rights to which data in those files. And when it came to the ubiquitous flat files that COSOR's been staging and integrating for years, we noticed there wasn't a solution on the market for protecting the fields in different kinds of files. So in COSOR version 9, ETL and compliance teams can get together and define their files for processing while they're making access choices for each field for security. And the function that they apply will depend on the level of security that's required for each user and to some extent how that protected field should look. For example, if you use COSOR's AES 256 encryption library on an address field, that's very secure, and it can be decrypted, but it doesn't look as good because of the ciphertext as maybe a one-time lookup substitution that might be better suited for test data.
Speaking of test data, what about security concerns around that? I know the use of production data for testing is now frowned on, to put it mildly, but what are the alternatives?
Exactly. A test data is a variation on that theme because of ETL testing requirements, application development, and outsourcing that all require data to be realistic in table format, file format, report format. The challenge is how to do that, how to create test data that looks real, that is referentially and structurally correct, and that has some intelligence to it, meaning that the date ranges and the formats and values and the sizes of the data sets are following the business rules. In the course of developing and testing COSOR for data manipulation, we found it necessary to validate our own results, just as we're application developers. We had to come up with data that is as close to real in terms of customer files that we would be processing as possible. So we were able to leverage the COSOR data definition and transformation and formatting language to fashion a 4GL for test data creation that we called ROGEN, which is a new product to address this issue. It's a sister product to COSOR that also leverages Dan Lindstedt's rapid architectural consolidation engine, the RapidACE product, by the way, for data models. That is so that you can create database test data according to the data model of the database and preserve the referential integrity in that, which is also an important component of realistic data especially if you're populating a test data warehouse database. Also, if you want referentially correct flat files for any reason or formatted reports, I would check out RowGen for test data creation.
Interesting. So in the context of what we've talked about today, you mentioned RowGen. What else is unique about what CoSort offers?
As a product, quite a bit. CoSort, again, has been around for a long time in data integration and staging operations, mainly because of its parallel flat file transformation capabilities. For example, it was the first commercial sort product for Unix, the first flat file tool on Unix and Windows for parallel sorting, multi-file joins, aggregation, other special manipulations like cross-calcs and built-in Perl expressions. CoSort is also unique in the creation of custom detail summary and delta reports in the same path, by the way, as the big transformations, and because it builes filtered, summarized, and denormalized exports for the big BI tools, a la the data franchising we were talking about prior. But what's interesting now seems to be the compliance angle. We think that CoSort's field-level protections for flat files represent the kind of data-centric security that's really needed now because it's more efficient, it's more flexible, more portable than file and disk and database whole encryption solutions, and because you can build these protections into data transformation loading and reporting activities. You can also use CoSort to produce an XML audit trail, which means you can verify compliance with privacy regulations. And again, the other unique thing is that it's not just limited to encryption. I mean, you could use CoSort just for this kind of security. But I think the most elegant and cost-effective thing about it is its ability to combine the data protections with the data transformation and reporting operations that you've got to do anyway in the data integration context. So, for example, you could sort on and de-identify the Social Security number column in a file. You could pseudonymize the last name, group by and mask the salary field, standardize and then maybe encrypt the address field, and then send these fields off to differently formatted handoff, load, and report targets, and you can do that all at the same time in the same job script, the same I/O path. So the bottom line is that you can, as a data warehouse or BI user, use CoSort to get a lot more done in a lot less time, and at the same time reduce complexity and technology, financial footprints in the process.
Well, thank you, David. We've been speaking today with David Friedland, who is VP of Business Development at IRI, the CoSort company, about security issues around data integration and ETL. Thank you for your time and insights today, David.
You're very welcome.
Thanks for listening. To listen to previous audio reports, including selections from our sister publications, go to the TDWI.org homepage, and in the top menu, click on News, then Audio Reports.